Let's look tonight at Matthew chapter number 22. Matthew chapter 22 is where we'll start. We're going to be in a lot of different places. But isn't it a privilege tonight to be able to open the Bible and know that it's God's Word? That it's not the Word of a man, but it's God's Word preserved in the English-speaking language in this old King James Bible. For God's people today, I think that's a blessing. He said he would preserve his word to every generation. If you'll look with me at, I'm going to back up a little bit. And when the multitude, verse 33, Matthew 22, we'll start verse 33. But when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. You remember one of the major differences in the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were both very religious groups of people, sects, if you please, of religious people. And the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. And the Lord Jesus, that both of these groups tried to give him trouble. And so one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." He said, "This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And I think this is interesting. In verse number 4, Jesus said, "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." I believe what Jesus is telling us here, that these two will take care of all the rest of them. Brother Wayne, if I love the Lord thy God with all my heart, I'm not going to be interested in stealing from you. Amen. I'm not going to be interested in cursing you. I'm not going to be interested in your wife. I'll be interested in my wife if I love the Lord thy God with all my heart, love my neighbor as myself. I'm not going to be envious. I'm not going to be jealous. I'm not going to be full of hatred and malice. And so Jesus very wisely tells them, you know, I'm going to just hang it all right here. You can hang your hat right here. If these two commandments are in place in an individual's life, the rest will just fall in place. And I've said this for years. There's not a problem in a church or in a family that falling in love with Jesus won't fix. Amen. Not a problem between a sinner and a Christian, or two Christians, or two sinners that fall in love with Jesus wouldn't fix. Amen. And so tonight, I want to examine this for a little while, and I hope you'll pray with me and pray for me. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to bow at an old-fashioned altar of prayer, call on your name tonight. Lord, we thank you for the privilege to open this Bible and know that it's the Word of God. Lord, I pray tonight that you'll speak to our hearts. Help us tonight, Lord Jesus. Lord, just shake us, our Father. Help us to realize our responsibility in this generation that we live in, to love you, to live for you, to lift you up before a lost and a dying world. And God will give you glory for all that you do. Lord, we do pray for those that are in the storm's path on the coast, those that are evacuating. Pray that people would use wisdom, our Lord. Lord, it'd be one thing to lose a home, but another thing to lose your life. Lord, I do pray that, Lord, you would help us in our country to love one another, pray one for another. And Lord, I know there's a lot of malice right now, a lot of ill will in our country. Lord, I pray that some way revival would break out and folks would see that's not the way of God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to say tonight, you know, we might ask ourselves the question, why would God call this a great commandment? That's what I want to try to address tonight. That's what I want to try to answer. Now, tonight, it's a great commandment. I'm just going to give you three simple thoughts. First of all, because it proceeds from a great Savior. I want to tell you tonight, Jesus is a wonderful Savior. Jesus is the only Savior. Jesus is the one that loved us, that gave his life for us. And what the Bible said was, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life. I believe it's a great commandment because of the one that's given it. It proceeds from a great Savior. I believe tonight that the Lord is a great Savior and that he was willing to take our place. He was willing to give his life for us. The psalmist in Psalm 145 and verse 3 said it like this: great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. I believe that, don't you? I think about Brother Don McCann. He was here a little while back with us preaching, and he said, I like to just spread them books out all around me. And he said, I just like to research. Sometimes I spend an hour on one word or hours on one word. And I think about this Savior, that his greatness is unsearchable. What's that mean? That means that man's 80 years old and he's been searching for many, 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 many years. And he still can't define the greatness of our God and our Savior. Amen. All we can say is God is great. Amen. The little children's prayer says God is good, God is great. And that says more than a whole lot of people say when they're praying. Amen. God is a good God, and he's a great God. Great is the Lord. The Psalm 77 verse 13 said, thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? And I tell you, you'll not find another. Amen. I don't care what religion you look into, what country you look into, you'll never find a God, a Savior, greater than the Lord Jesus. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse number 6, the Bible said, Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, amen, amen, with lifting up their hands. They bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. I believe tonight he's still a great God, just like he was in Ezra's day. I believe tonight we still ought to lift up our hands and say, bless his name. Amen. God is great. God is good. I've been around several church services where just once in a while they'll stop and say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. You get around them old timers, somebody say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And somebody will say, and forget not all his benefits. He's a great God tonight, amen? And he deserves our praise and our worship tonight. The great commandment, because it proceeds from a great Savior. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, the Bible said, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Anyone who doesn't believe in deity, I don't know what you do with a verse like that. It didn't say the blessed hope, looking for the glorious appearing of the great God or our Savior, Jesus Christ. The great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, well, you're talking about three gods. No, I'm just talking about one in three persons. Amen. God made man in his own image. When you look up here, you see one man, but this man has a body. This man has a soul. This man has a spirit. But that doesn't make him three individuals. It makes him one man with three distinct parts. And so God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, it's a great commandment because it proceeds from a great Savior. Now, tonight, I'm going to get down to some things, but let me just give you this secondly. It's a great commandment because it previews a great salvation. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, Jesus is telling these people here to do something they can't do without him. Ain't nobody can love the Lord their God with all their heart, all their mind, all their body, and all their soul until they come to know him in the free pardon of sin. I've had people down through the years say things like this. Well, I would get saved, but I just can't live it. I say, glory to God. I'm glad you done figured that out. I can't either. Amen. I tell you what happens when a man gets saved. Then God puts his love on the inside of him. The Bible said, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I mean, one of the first things, if not the first thing I said to my wife after I got saved was, I'm sorry. I went home that night and told my wife, I said, honey, I'm sorry. I was weeping. I look back on it, man, I can't imagine what went through her mind in 30 seconds while I was trying to explain. I was supposed to be at church. Well, I was at church. When I told her I was sorry, say, sorry for what? I looked at my wife. I said, honey, I thought I loved you. I said, but until just a few minutes ago, I didn't know anything about love. God save me. I said, baby, I love you. I'm sorry. I thought I loved you, but I said, God put a love in my heart. I'm going to tell you something right now. Love is more than just an emotion. It's a person. The Word of God said God is love. Amen. I'll tell you tonight, it's a blessing. The great commandment, because it previews a great salvation. I tell you, Jesus knew they couldn't do this. And I'll show you here. Psalm 25 said, for thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. You say, preacher, why is it a great salvation? Because it offers a pardon to great sinners. You see, the Bible, I put it down there. Thank the Lord. This verse has been in my heart all day. Romans 7:13. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. I'm going to tell you something tonight. There's not one individual on planet Earth that can do what Jesus told us to do in these verses without him. We can't love God without him. We can't love our neighbor without him. We can only love ourselves. And we can only love sin without him. Oh, I'm so glad, listen, that he came by my way one day. The Bible said, I think it was in the book of Hebrews, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Honey, this great commandment previews a great salvation. I'm going to tell you something right now. It was a happy day when I figured out, Brother Larry, how much he loved me. That he loved me enough to go to that cross and give his life. It was a happy day when I figured out I didn't have to love him first. He already loved me. Listen, we love him tonight because he first loved us. He's the one that started it all. Babe, way back in the garden, well, even before the garden, before the foundation of the world, before God said, let us make man in our own image, God knew that man would fail. God knew that man would sin. God knew that man would rebel. And God loved mankind enough to say the lamb would be slain before the foundation of the world. God made a way, amen. He pictures that way in the animal skins in the garden when he killed the animals and clothed Adam and Eve. How many's glad tonight he clothed you and I in his righteousness? That's the only way we're going to be able to stand before him. I like what the songwriter said when he said, when he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy and not as I am. It's a great commandment tonight because it previews a great salvation. The Bible talks about the fact that, I think it was in the book of Jonah, recorded salvation is of the Lord. And I tell you tonight, I believe it was Brother Tom Hayes years ago wrote a song. I believe he's the one that wrote it. Said, all of grace is my story, all the way from earth to glory. Since by grace he lifted me from sin and woe, living grace he has extended, as on him my heart depended. And there'll be new grace when it's my time to go. I thank God, listen tonight, that all the way through the Christian's life, it's grace. Oh, you say, preacher, what about them years when you were sinning? It's a grace of God I didn't die in my sin. It's a grace of God I lived to be 27 years old. I'm not proud of it, but I did a lot of ignorant things and done a lot of stupid things in my life. But thank God for grace that saw me through till I could get saved by the grace of God. I believe tonight it's important to understand it's a great commandment because it proceeds from a great Savior, because it previews a great salvation. Then tonight, it's a great commandment because it produces some wonderful saints. Listen to me. Some of the greatest people I've ever met in this book were full of the love of God. Some of the greatest people I've ever met in this world were full of the love of God. I didn't say they were perfect because none of us are perfect. But thank God our Savior is, and thank God His love is perfect. The Bible said we love Him because He first loved us. But the Bible, listen to these verses. I think it's important. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Let's talk about loving the saints first of all. Everyone that loveth is born of God, knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sin. What John is telling us here, you didn't start this. God did. It wasn't the fact that you loved God that the reason you're standing where you're standing. It's the fact that He loved you. Amen? And notice what the Bible said here. Beloved, if God so loved us, it produces some wonderful saints. Then it says we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us and His love is perfected in us. I believe tonight it's a great commandment because it produces some wonderful saints. I think about David. The Bible declared him to be a man after God's own heart. We know there were some scars in David's life. But I tell you this, we know there was a pardon. We know there was forgiveness. We know that God used David over and over and over. One of the greatest pictures you'll ever see in the Word of God or the grace of God is when David said, Saul is dead, Jonathan is dead. And David said, is there any left of the house of Saul that I might show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? I tell you, Saul hated David. Saul hunted David, and it took an unusual man, beloved, to be looking for some ancestor to Saul to show him kindness for Jonathan's sake. Woo, glory to God. I want you to know tonight, that's what happened with me. God looked down looking for somebody that He could show kindness for Jesus' sake. Amen. And the grace of God. Of course, they brought Mephibosheth. It's a picture, Brother Rose, because Mephibosheth couldn't bring himself. He was lame on both of his feet. He had to be carried. Aren't you glad for the grace of God? When you couldn't get to Him, thank God He came to you and He came to me. In other words, we hadn't got no business bragging on ourselves or to be bragging on our Savior tonight, bragging on the grace of God. It produces some wonderful people. I think about Stephen. He was the man that preached that sermon. And boy, down in the South, they would say something like this. It was a good one. It was good enough to get him killed. Amen. He told them the truth. He set them up. If you read the sermon, he set them up beautifully. Amen. Then he dropped the hammer. I'm going to tell you something tonight. You want to see a picture of a man full of love. There's rocks thumping him. He's leaving this world. They're stoning him to death. I'm going to tell you something tonight. Stoning, I know that crucifixion is the worst. But man, that's got to be a horrible way to die. Unless you would just be blessed enough maybe to get hit with the first rock in the temple or something and be knocked out while they beat the rest of the life out of you.
But I'll tell you what, it didn't happen that way with Stephen, because he was able to look up towards heaven. He was able to say, I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. He was able to say, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. You want to know why? Because he was full of the love of God. Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing. What a blessing. Paul and Silas, they weren't gritting their teeth at that jailer. I believe, you know, we know that they were praying and praising God. How many believes it's very possible? It's more than possible. It's probable that they were praying for that jailer, that one, beloved, that laid those stripes on their back, that one that beat them and throwed them in there. I know they were praying and saying, thank you, Lord, that we're worthy, that we've been counted worthy to suffer for your name's sake. I could just hear Paul and Silas say, bless that feller. Lord, he don't know no better. I could hear Paul saying something like this, Lord, it ain't been too long ago that I was going down there to Damascus to get me a load and beat on them, amen, and lock them up. But Lord, you changed my life and you can change his. Probably not too long after that, God shook the place. You know what he was doing? I'm going to get to this in a minute, but he is praying for his enemies. Glory to God. Amen. I believe that. Don't you tonight? That's what the love of God will do. It'll cause you to pray for your enemy. Pray not just for saints, but pray for sinners and pray for your enemy. Sometimes, beloved, it's that saint that tries to become an enemy, and we don't realize that the enemy's in the background. That's old Slewfoot. That's old devil, amen, that would pit God's people one against another. Beloved, listen what Jesus said. You have heard it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. You show me somebody can do that by themselves. Pray for them that despitefully use you. In other words, beloved, there ain't nothing. Paul said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. There ain't one good thing about this stinking flesh, but oh, happy day, a Savior moved in on the inside. He can cause us to love our enemy, pray for our enemy, bless them that would despitefully use us. That other prayer request just came back to me. Oh, and I got up a while ago. I forgot it. And that's Mary. That's Kathy's sister. That's bad. I'm sorry, sister-in-law. That's battling cancer. Maybe, Brother John, you did request prayer. I didn't hear it if you did. Let's pray for Mary. Now, he said here that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good, sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? How many have been around long enough to know that's how we're built? That's how we're built in the natural realm. Love them that love you. But how many's been around long enough to know that we're not supposed to be walking in the natural realm? We're supposed to get to a place where we can love them that hate us. Amen. The Bible said here, and if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. I read this about the love of enemies. I thought it would be good tonight. It's in the book, The Grace of Giving. Stephen Olford tells of a Baptist pastor. I want y'all to listen to this, please. He tells of a Baptist pastor during the American Revolution, Peter Miller, who lived in Ephrata, Pennsylvania, and enjoyed the friendship of George Washington. In Ephrata also lived Michael Whitman, an evil-minded sort who did all he could to oppose and humiliate the pastor. One day Michael Whitman was arrested for treason and sentenced to die. Peter Miller traveled 70 miles on foot to Philadelphia to plead for the life of this traitor. No, Peter, General Washington said, I cannot grant you the life of your friend. My friend, exclaimed the old preacher, he's the bitterest enemy I have. What? cried Washington. You've walked 70 miles to save the life of an enemy? That puts the matter in different light, he said. I'll grant your pardon. And he did. Peter Miller took Michael Whitman back home to Ephrata. No longer an enemy, but a friend. I came to church one night, Brother Wayne, an enemy. Oh, Lord God of heaven. Woo! An enemy of the gospel. I came to church one night. That's what I was. I was a sinner. I was lost. I didn't know no better. But can I tell you, somebody stepped forward that night. Said, would you pardon him? And I'm going to tell you something right now. Jesus came a lot further than 70 miles on foot. He came from heaven down to earth, amen, to give his life on a cross so he could look over at the Father and say, Father, forgive him. He's coming by way of the cross. What a blessing tonight. What a blessing. What a blessing to be saved. To know that someone loved me when I was unlovable. Someone. The Bible said that God commendeth his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He wasn't waiting on me to get good. I say this for Miss Eve. He wasn't waiting on me to get gooder. He loved me. I remember a lady. I got a handkerchief here somewhere. I remembered it tonight. I remember a lady on a plane. We sing that song, I Can Tell You Now the Time, I Can Take You to the Place. There was a lady on a plane somewhere between Atlanta and San Antonio. I do remember they said it was 14,000 feet. All she could tell you is it was 14,000 feet somewhere between Atlanta and San Antonio. That lady, I got to tell it briefly. I'll tell it really briefly. But we exchanged seats because six of us men on that missions trip, Brother Cole, got our tickets at the same time. We were all sitting in one line across that plane, three on that side, three on this side. But one man decided late that he wanted to get in on the trip. And that man, his ticket just put him off in the plane wherever. And we took that first ride, a seat. Miss Eve, we went from Knoxville, didn't we? From Knoxville to Atlanta. And we sat down in Atlanta, and it was Brother Mike Ford. I said, Brother Mike, I said, let's exchange tickets here, or exchange seats after we get on the plane. I said, you take my seat, sit with the men, fellowship with them, and then I'll sit in your seat. I said, I'm wanting to do some reading and studying, and I was. I wasn't lying about that, but mainly I didn't want him sitting off by himself. And here come a beautiful young lady. 28 years old, with a daughter that was a brat. I said a brat. You know what makes brats? The absence of belts. I said, Lord, how am I going to witness this lady? You remember Dwight DeBoard, Sister Nita? Dwight had told us on the first leg of that trip on the van how that somebody tried to set him up with another woman in the military when he was overseas. He thought, what am I going to do? He pulled out his billfold, took out a picture of his family, said, I want y'all to meet my wife and my children. So I thought, well, what am I going to do? And so I said, maybe I can set this lady at ease because as good looking as I am, you know, I could get in trouble. Y'all supposed to laugh right there. Some of you didn't get that. I was a whole lot younger. I got my billfold out. Asked her where she was from, where she was going. Told her we was on a mission trip. One of the first things I told her that I had deacons sitting behind me. Six of the men from our church was sitting behind me. We was on a mission trip. Took out a picture of Miss Eve and the children. Showed it to her. Set her at ease. Now, I didn't get to witnessing while we were still on the tarmac. You got to get in the air, don't you, Brother Steve, so they don't have no place to run. Amen. And I asked her if I could share with her the gospel. She said, sure. I found out in all that she had a grandmother godly grandmother and a godly aunt that had been praying for her for years. Long story short, right when it just seemed like the Lord was dealing with her heart, and you mark this down, honey, we have an enemy. The old devil, amen. That youngin' just kept pulling at her mama and pulling at her mama, and I thought, honey, whatever it is she needs, you just go ahead and take care of it. There was a time when I could remember her name. Miss Eve can probably remember it. You remember her name? Anyway, there was a picture that we took with her and put it up on the bulletin board, the missions trip. But anyway, her makeup was just messed up. She was crying. God was dealing with her. She took that young and went to the restroom, come back to that seat and sat down. Brother Ralph, she had everything fixed. Everything was fixed back up. I mean, I thought, this is just a shame. The whole time, I said, this is a shame that the devil's going to just mess this up, because God, I know you're dealing with that young man. I looked at her and I said, I want to ask you something. I said, did you ever think, if you just stop doing some of the things that you're doing that you know is wrong and start doing some of the things that you know is right, maybe reading your Bible, maybe going to church and praying, some of the things you know is right, stop doing the wrong and start doing the right. Did you ever stop and think of how much God would love you? She went like this. I said, look at me. And she looked up at me and I said, I'm going to tell you something. I said, you may not understand right now, but God will never love you one ounce more than he does right now. He's not waiting on you to quit anything or start anything. He loves you. There come the makeup again, Brother Steve. It got a hold of her heart that God would love her, and her knowing she was doing things that she wasn't supposed to be doing and not doing the things she was supposed to. I'm going to tell you something tonight. Listen, one of the things we need back in our churches is to realize that God loved us just like we are. And even in our sorry condition tonight, somebody help me. He loves us. What a blessing. You know what that makes us want to do? Love him back. But we forget sometimes. We get to thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Like we're a little better than we really are. And I don't know about you, but when I read that commandment there, I'm not going to stand up and square my shoulders back and say, yes, sir, buddy, I got her down. Is there anybody here going to do that? And I tell you what I can do tonight. I can love my enemies. I can love the saints of God. I can love a Savior that first loved me. Well, I ain't got time to get into that last thing. Because I really, when I get there, I'll probably park a little while. Amen. I think we'll just cut it off right there tonight. I feel like that's what the Lord wants us to do. The great commandment, let me read it again. He said, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. How many's glad you come tonight? How many wants to go out and do a better job loving the Lord, loving our neighbor? Where we're going, we may do this next Wednesday, I don't know. But where we're going to be going, when you read this record in the book of Luke, this smart lawyer said, who is my neighbor? And you know, if you want me to love him, you got to at least tell me who he is. I'm going to tell you something tonight. He loves you. I talked a little while ago about the children's prayers, the children's songs. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Let's stand together, Brother Ralph. You can sing the first verse of that by memory, can't you? Just that first verse. Well, Brother Ralph won't do it. I'll do it. Brother Rose, you help me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. The Bible tells me so. We ever get over that, we're done. We're sunk if we ever get over that. May God, the Holy Ghost, bring it back to our mind often. How much he loves us. He loved us. He loves us. He will forever love his children. I pray tonight that something's been said, been a blessing to you. Father, add your blessings now to the Word of God. Challenge our hearts tonight, Father. Lord, Paul said it like this. He said, we've not yet attained, but we press toward the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord, we're not in heaven yet. We're glad you're still working on us. And Lord, I pray tonight, anyone, Lord, don't know you, that you might make your love so real and so special that they'd want to trust you as their Savior. Lord, tonight, I'm like Peter. When he was up on the Mount of Transfiguration, he said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. God, now for 5 years, 5 and a half, you've allowed me to stand with this group of people. Never one time, Lord, have I stood that I didn't know I was loved. In spite of my mistakes and failures, Lord, it's good to know God's people love one another. Help us, Lord, to have an impact in our community, to love our neighbor as ourselves. Help us to love our enemies. Lord, I don't know that. I pray that that illustration about that pastor that walked 70 miles, oh God, may that stick in my heart. Help me, dear God, to realize, Lord, there's only one real enemy. He's the one behind the scenes trying to stir it up. Lord, thank you, one. That one that's above the scenes, stirring our hearts. Lord, we'll give you glory. In Jesus' name. Shake hands with 500 people, and then you